2:05 p.m. and it's lunchtime. We're having a power lunch here at the studios of KVOI Radio, AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk and where the local talk is the local news, because we have the local newsmakers, taste makers, style makers, movers, shakers, healers, foodies, and friends every day around our table, live from the City of Gastronomy, saving the seat at the head of the table for you, our guest of honor. And you know what? We're going to do something really fun this hour. We love hearing from you. We do. We love hearing from you. And, oh, who are we? Well, Michelle Cardenas is here from Brightway Wellness. She and Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez is here every Monday. He's gone back to work. And he actually spends his lunch hour here on Mondays with us so that he can bring us his remarkable and really generous brand of positive inspiration. And Michelle is a spiritual philanthropist. Ramon is an inspiration philanthropist. And when you have philanthropists, like the guy in Colorado this week who was at the commencement that Oprah Winfrey was at, and then you get the guy down in Morehouse College who basically paid the student loans for everybody in the graduating class. Did you read about that?
No.
Namaste. Bob, hello, what happened?
Okay, there I am. Hi.
Good to see you over here.
I know. You saw that story. So, but Michelle,
I have not seen that story, but it sounds incredible.
A billionaire was inspired to basically commit to paying the student loans off for every graduate of the 2019 class.
Wow.
That's who we should be playing fanfare for the common man for. I mean, definitely. That's incredible. So last night at the Tucson Pops kickoff concert, because, and again, we talked in the last hour about being flexible and, you know, being able to go with the flow. Last week was the kickoff of the Pops season, and it rained, unusually so. And so there was like an inch of water on the stage. It was incredible. So they had to cancel the concert. So last night, which would have been the second week, is actually now the first week of the season. So it kicked off last night. And one of the most beautiful, powerful pieces of music was Fanfare, Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man. So, and the gentleman that donated the monies, the millions of dollars, I think it's, someone calculated that it's a donation worth of about $40 million.
Wow.
Approximately $40 million was committed by this billionaire to the graduating class at Morehouse College in student loan forgiveness, basically. Which
that's
I thought
incredible.
Was really cool. So Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness, you come each and every week, and it's a master class in healing arts, but it's not like you're teaching us to be practitioners, and it's not like you're doing a diagnostic like, oh, does your elbow hurt? Does your foot hurt? It's not that kind of healing and wellness. When we get together every week to talk about this, and by the way, we're also talking about food because we have Chef Ryan Clark calling in, and we've got the good folks from the National Restaurant Association calling in as well.
Nice.
From Chicago. It's the 100th anniversary edition of the National Restaurant Show, which I actually was very surprised. If you'd said, guess which version it is, I'd say maybe like 60, 70 years. No, 100 years. 1919 was the first year they had the National Restaurant Association show.
Wow.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
That is cool.
So, but that's our hour. We'd love to hear from you, 520-790-2040. And you have had an inspiration. I'm going to say it's the Supervisor Valadez effect. You've had an inspiration, and you want to, through the hour, for every caller that calls in, you want to put those names in. And at the end of the hour, we're going to pick one of those names and you're going to give them something. What are you going to give someone at the end of the hour today?
At the end of the hour, we're going to give away one free session, Reiki session or other healing modality with me at my private office. And it has a value of $65.
But it has an incalculable value for the wellness and the healing benefit it gives you.
True.
And this isn't about saying, you know, doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do this. I mean, this is a whole other thing. Just give us the 10-second version of what is Reiki.
Reiki is energy healing that heals us on all levels of our being. So we have our physical body that is here and now in this 3D, but we also have our mental and emotional. We have spiritual. We have past. We have present. We have future selves. So Reiki can help with all of those.
With all of those.
Mm-hmm.
So at 2:30, we're going to talk with Christine and the good folks at the National Restaurant Association. Chef Ryan Clark. Is Chef Ryan Clark on the phone right now? We're very excited to have him here. Have you been out? First of all, this is a local guy who has made some big national news with the way that he does what he does. He's a great cook. He's a really inspired artist. But he is coming into his own in a really significant way. And what he's doing these days is inspired, nothing short of inspired. We talked about when we were in Hermosillo at the Festival del Chef Sonora that Supervisor Valadez and I were lucky enough to have that incredible, it was the showstopper dish of the meal. He did the soup, but every bite was more delicious than the last bite because he embedded treasure in the soup, hiding in plain sight. You didn't know what to expect. It just looked delicious, and then it just kept revealing layer and layer of surprise. I mean, it was just incredible.
You're making my mouth water right now.
I know,
now.
But you know why? Because it was a sweet corn soup. So it was a 60-day corn soup, and it was made from corn that, you know, like just everything was still in that nature's first green is gold moment. It was just delicious. Last night he had a big event. We're going to let you talk about that in just a minute. But we're going to also open the phone lines up in just a little bit because we are going to take your calls all hour. Because for everybody that calls, we're going to take your name. We're going to put it in the hat. And at the end of the hour, somebody's going to get the prize of a private healing Reiki session with Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness. Chef Ryan Clark is somebody who has been making extraordinary examples of delicious in this community, but he leads by example as well, whether it's his farm event out of the Casino del Sol or whether it was something that you tasted when he was at the helm at Augustin, where he made literally a perfect fried oyster and he took the kumquats that are on the tree in the courtyard at the Mercado San Agustin, turned them into a succulent little like a chutney, and it was singularly the best fried oyster I've ever had in my life. From when he was at the lodge, in every iteration of his career, he has been show-stoppingly, deliciously evolving in his delicious career. And now he is one of the vanguard of the next wave of where Tucson goes, because he is uniquely representing the future of food to a community that has for 4,000 years been cultivating delicious. Chef Ryan Clark, welcome.
Jennifer, thank you so much. I love coming on your show because the welcoming is amazing.
You, my friend, I'm really happy for you and I'm really proud of you because watching your career, when you look back, the trajectory is amazing. And I love that if you look at the trajectory, it sort of says where we're going and that's what's exciting. Where you're taking us next, I can't wait to go.
And Tucson's an amazing place, and, you know, every year that I'm here, we're just trying to continue to develop it and push it further. And every year I'm making new relationships, whether it's other chefs, restaurateurs, farmers or purveyors, and even outside of Tucson and stretching the envelope and really reaching out to people outside of Tucson and telling people, you know, how good Tucson really tastes and getting them involved and bringing them back and sharing the culture with them. It's quite amazing.
Chef Ryan Clark, are we having a moment globally right now? It kind of feels like we are. And if that's the case, what are people seeing? What do you think? What do you hear people talking about when they talk about this Tucson scene?
It's huge right now. It's a big thing with UNESCO and La Delice. These designations that put Tucson on the map globally is something that's special, it's unique, and it's just an amazing thing. You know, Brian Smith's in China right now representing Tucson. A few of the chefs just got back from Hermosillo that you were just talking about, and I was down there. And really, people are interested in the food that we cook. And it's not just about the humble roots of Sonoran Mexican food. it's that agriculture that you're talking about, 4,000 years of farming and these unique indigenous native ingredients that we use here in the desert and that grow in our backyard.
Chef Ryan Clark, you have an event every year where you celebrate the farmer. Will you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a great event. It's called the Arizona Farm and Food Festival, and we hold it out at AVA. We actually have the date set for this year. It'll be November 3rd. So it's a ways away, but it's unique in the way that, you know, a lot of the tasting events you go to, you know, you wait in line and you get to talk to the chef and you get to try some food. But we try to pair a partner with the chef. So whether that's a beverage component with our local wines, beers, and distilled spirits, or maybe it's the actual farmer or rancher that's here in southern Arizona, and you get to meet those people and you get to kind of understand the relationship between the chef and the farmer, the purveyor. So, you know, you get that full rounded aspect of culinary.
This year, we have the upcoming Iron Chef competition, and it's something that you've gotten really deeply involved with. And you had a kickoff event last night about meeting the chefs. When we look back at how this event got started many years ago, it was sort of a derivative from the competition shows that were not yet everywhere on TV. But competition shows and competition cooking are everywhere now. But there's something more about the one that happens here. And I want you to speak to why this event has survived and sustained as well as it has all these years, and what it says and represents about this culinary community and this culinary culture.
Well, you know, we open it up to all the executive chefs in southern Arizona. And, you know, we always get a huge list of chefs that apply for it. And it's so unique to have everybody come together and want to kind of compete on that platform. And it really is. I mean, it's the original Iron Chef Tucson. It's everything that people want when they see a competition. It's the bright lights. It's the big stage. You know, we bring in some of the best judges and MCs from around Tucson. And we really make a big, you know, spectacular event out of it. And if you're going and you want to see good entertainment, this is what it's all about. And then it also has a culinary experience that's attached to it. So beforehand, you can sample foods, meet purveyors, sample great beers from southern Arizona as well. So it's really a big two-part event. And like you said, we just had Meet the Chefs at the casino. They attach a great nonprofit to this event, the Boys and Girls Club, which I'm all about supporting the community. So I'm glad that they put that together as well. And we had a sellout event last night. And this year, for the first time, they actually narrowed the field down at Meet the Chefs.
Ooh, so they selected, I heard that.
They selected three finalists last night. It was a blind tasting. That means the judges taste the food, but they don't know where the food's coming from, and they select their three favorite dishes. And this year we have two women in the finals. I want to see a woman get up on stage because we have amazing women here in southern Arizona, and we haven't had one compete on stage yet. So I think we have a good chance this year that one of them might make that final spot.
So who were the finalists?
So the finalists last night, there's a bunch of chefs, like I said. The Gourmet Girls, Mary Steiger over there, they do an amazing job.
Awesome.
She's one of our finalists. Chef Wendy Gauthier from Chef Chic.
From Chef Chic.
Amazing catering company. Yep, and she's been involved in this Iron Chef for years, so I'm really glad that she's one of our finalists.
She's crazy talented.
She's really, really good. And she uses a lot of local ingredients, which mm-hmm. is, you know, special to Tucson. And then Alan Lambert from Doubletree, and they're doing a lot of great remodel over there at the Doubletree Hilton over by Reed Park. So we're excited to see what he can bring to the table as well.
Hey, Chef Clark, what's up on tap this summer? Because when we head into the season where it's a little too hot to cook and a little too hot to eat, we have an inspiration to suggest to people, if it's too hot to cook and it's too hot to eat, go out. Make sure you go out. And not only go out and create and cultivate conviviality, but cultivate cool conviviality, cultivate cool culinary conviviality. We want people to go out and sustain the businesses that are here when the kids from U of A go away and the snowbirds go away, and we're the ones that are here to sustain our favorite places. Would you talk a little bit about what you're going to do this summer when it's too hot to cook and too hot to eat?
Oh, there's all kinds of good stuff. I like to get out of town. I really do. But if I'm here, you know, it's all about the pool. It's pool time. So there's great resorts here in Tucson. So I like to do a little staycation, whether it's over at Star Pass or get up to Lowe's. You know, Ken Harvey does amazing barbecue up there. You know, it's time to find something cool, find the shade, hang out.
Nice. Well, and Casino del Sol is a great place to staycation as well.
Yeah, but you know, when I'm on here, I like to spread the wealth a little bit and promote some other spots. But we do have some fun stuff coming up, too. We've got some great dinners, so you can get inside, get out of the heat. Dinner with Chefs, our series is always phenomenal. This one's sold out for May. We have Will, the sommelier from Westward Look, coming out. We're doing a Somm versus Somm dinner. But next month, we have Kieran Weiss, one of the most amazing, kind of the godfather of craft cocktails here in Tucson. Him and Aaron DeFeo really helped put Tucson on the map. He'll be out at Casino del Sol, and him and I are putting together a menu with locally foraged plants from southern Arizona. So him and I are going to be out in the next coming weeks actually picking different ingredients for the menu and putting that together.
And by the way, I've heard more chefs talking about foraging in the last couple of weeks. It's a thing. I was with Ryan from AC, Hotel AC downtown. He's behind the bar there. Again, another protege of Aaron DeFeo. And he was just out foraging for ingredients as well. It's really a thing right now. And we should also remind people that Kieran Weiss was named as one of the top 50 bartenders in the world a few years back at Tales of the Cocktail, and has been very generous in his donating his time and his mentoring talent to upcoming generations of mixologists. He goes back every year with the apprentice program there, and he has paid it forward 10 times and keeps doing so. So for that, we should all come out and support. And the dividend, of course, is that you'll be rewarded because it'll be a great meal and everything will taste delicious and the sips will be wonderful too.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I worked with him at Augustine, but he went to New York City for about a year and a half, I think, and now he's back in Tucson, and we couldn't be happier to have him back in this community. And when I knew he was back, I knew I had to sign him up for this Dinner with Chef series, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, two people on your team that I want to give a shout-out to, and I want to make sure we get the chance to talk to them in the next weeks. First is Gina. She knocked me out. Tell everybody, because when we talk about there are some great women who have talent in the culinary realm in Tucson, your right hand right there is one of those people.
Yeah, Gina's our executive pastry chef at the property. She does an amazing job. You know, we serve over about 3,000 people every single day at Casino del Sol. We have over 7 outlets. And her bake shop, I mean, it runs so smoothly. We have, you know, everything's being made from scratch. Everything from, we have starter yeast that are growing in the back, and she's making fresh breads from those. She has fresh breadsticks, all the fresh desserts at every single one of our outlets. And then banquets, where we're doing plated desserts for up to 1,000 people at a time. So the kitchen's always humming, and we're always coming up with fun flavors in the bake shop.
And one of my favorite chefs in town, one of my favorite young chefs, the Robin to your Batman. Talk a little bit about Chef Stephen for us, because you guys have really hit your stride as a 1-2 punch team.
Yeah, you know, all the chefs there are doing a really good job, and Rod over at PY Steakhouse, he does a killer job. You know, we change the menu 5 times a year seasonally, and what he's done over there is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
I'm not intending to leave anybody out. I don't mean to leave anybody out, because you've really built an amazing team there.
Yeah, no, I just want to touch on everybody, but we do have a big team. We're one of the largest culinary teams in Tucson, and we'll get him on the show.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for making time on your busy day when you had so much going on with the Meet the Chefs. But congratulations on that. When is the finals?
Finals are June 29th. You can get VIP tickets, and I'm going to be putting together a huge spread of food before the actual Iron Chef event, and the VIP tickets will get you into that. Or you can get general admission, and I think the tickets are on sale now. You can also go to the Iron Chef website and vote, because those 3 finalists are on there right now. So we want to see who's going to be the final one to compete against Brian Smith.
And the finals are right around my birthday, so I can't wait to come out and see you and We'll have a birthday tipple together.
Hey, I think I have 2 general admission tickets if you want to give them away today.
Can we do that? Yes, we do. We want to do that right now. So let's, what caller number? What's our lucky number, Chef Ryan?
Let's go with 3. Lucky number 3.
Caller number 3 right now, 520-790-2040. You are going to get a pair of general admission tickets to Iron Chef Tucson. The original.
I wish I could call in.
I love it.
I want to go.
I know. Hey,
I'll
you
buy
know
tickets.
What? I want to thank you so much, Chef Ryan, for being here.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a good day.
Thanks, hon. We're going to take a very quick break as we dial right now, 520-790-2040. Caller number 3, a pair of general admission tickets to Iron Chef Tucson coming up next month. This is one of the most delicious events in town. It is a great way to spend a summer evening. 520-790-2040. You are listening to AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk. Up next, Michelle Cardenas is going to give us a little taste of the chakra magic that she's brought to be with us today. We will be back with more right after this. 2:31 p.m. Welcome back. This is The Power Lunch. Around the table, live from the City of Gastronomy, you are here on AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk. Local talk is the local news. And each and every day, we have lunch with the most interesting and influential tastemakers, style makers, lawmakers, newsmakers, movers, shakers, foodies, friends, and healers. We're taking you to Chicago right now to the National Restaurant Association show. Sitting in the co-host seat with me is my friend Michelle Cardenas from Brightway Wellness. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
And
glad
congratulations, by the way, to our winner. We have a winner of our 2 tickets to the Iron Chef Tucson at the Casino del Sol next month. That, I'm telling you, is such a great, it's a fun event. It's a delicious event. So, Michelle, the biggest surprise this year, and I would have known this because last year was the 99th National Restaurant Association, but it didn't register. It's not like 100 sneaks up on you. But it did. It snuck up on me. If you had said to me, what an anniversary edition of the National Restaurant Association show is this year's, I might have guessed 60, 70, maybe even 75 years, 100 years. 100 years celebrating the anniversary of the National Restaurant Association. Mark Lapidus is here on the phone from Chicago, and we can say happy anniversary to Mark Lapidus from the National Restaurant Association for calling in. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the anniversary wishes.
Hey, we talked a little. I know we've
not
talked.
Not my birthday, though.
No. You are not. You are not. But we've talked before, and it's always fun. You know, one of the great things about your event is it really represents the future of food and the vanguard of the hospitality industry. And one of the things that comes out of every one of these great shows in Chicago is this commitment and sense that at the core of everything you guys do is hospitality. You're not in the oven business or the napkin and straw business or the certified Angus beef business. You're in the hospitality business, and everybody to a person that I speak to that comes out of that event comes away with all kinds of inspirations, but the strongest always seems to be that we're in the business of welcoming people and serving people and hospitality. Would you talk a little bit about the National Restaurant Association and how that core of your mission really boils down to something as simple as hospitality?
Sure. Yeah, you know, the best restaurants are the ones with the best service. The restaurants with terrible service, they go out of business. Mm-hmm. They don't last very long. You can't go to a restaurant and not welcome people into your environment. It's like welcoming people into your home. Mm-hmm. You're cooking for them. You're making them feel welcome. You're making them feel happy. And that's all part of that service. If you're not doing that, it's just not personal. No one wants to go back there. The food's going to have to be so good and so special for anybody to come back if your service isn't good. But I have yet to really see an operation where that happens.
Yeah.
But that's why when people come here, they come to the show, we talk a lot about hospitality. Obviously, food has to be good too, but we talk a lot about hospitality. We talk about customer service. We talk about the customer experience. And, you know, almost all of our sessions, regardless of the topic, at some point come back to that spirit of hospitality and the need to really take care of customers when they come in the restaurant.
After 100 years of having conversations and watching this industry grow and really explode coast to coast, What are some of the stories that are coming out of this year's show as we look back and look forward?
So I took a look, walking the floor today, you see a lot of different things, and there's so many great exhibitors. I think one of the things that stood out for me was the a lot of plant-based foods and a lot of things about sustainability, really taking the industry in a different direction than we've gone before. I spent yesterday eating edible spoons made of wheat, straws made of hay. We talked about a lot of different things where people are really thinking about their health, their wellness, their impact on the earth, their carbon footprint, whatever it is. There are customers that are looking for it. There are restaurants that are offering it, and there are suppliers here at the show that have those kinds of services. Like I said, I was eating edible spoons yesterday.
How did it actually taste?
You know what? It was good. It was a chocolate one. They taste fine. It tastes like almost like a Mentos, but like a chocolate Mentos, but much, much tamer, much, much tamer taste. The goal of those spoons is to not have any flavor because you use it. You don't want it to pick up the flavor for other things. So it just has a very light flavor to it. Right. You probably use the chocolate one for ice cream or something like that.
That's funny. Hey, one of the things that I'm really curious about from this year's National Restaurant Association show is that local seems to be a really big thing for us locally, of course, with the City of Gastronomy designation and UNESCO and the Delice Network designation. But Chicago is playing a huge role in the national food scene. And with the James Beard Awards taking place there a couple weeks ago, and now the Restaurant Association, you could really make the argument that Chicago's becoming like the center of America's foodie world. Would you talk a little bit about some of that sort of local versus national story coming out of the restaurant industry?
Yeah, you talk about Chicago, and I think that's one of the reasons why the restaurant show is it's here, and the reason it's successful and the reason we attract so many people. This is a place where other restaurateurs want to come and see what's going on in Chicago. They want to see what's happening here. It's not a place of pretension. It's not a place of, where you might see that in other cities. It's really a place where hospitality is first and foremost in a lot of restaurants. But we've got cuisines in just about every international flavor that you can think of in Chicago. And we've got, some foods that are really meant just for Chicago. We have deep dish pizza, Italian beef, and there are other things in Chicago that really make this a special culinary city. So it's really nice. But I think you are seeing a lot of conversations about local. We know, and I think the top 500 restaurants in the country account for about 57% or 58%, if I'm not mistaken, no, 53%, excuse me, of restaurant dollars in the country. So that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But the other 47% are below the top 500. And that is a fairly big amount of money. You're talking probably 200, 250 billion, something along those lines, that don't come from chain restaurants. Wow. They come from local restaurants or very, very small chains, 2 restaurants, 3 restaurants, and things like that. Once you get down to the lower of the top 500, the chains aren't that big. The restaurants aren't that big, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 operations. But once you get below that, you've got some really great operations. And, we see those restaurateurs here. We probably see more independent restaurants here at the show than we see chain restaurants. We think they're not in the country, and we've taken a wild guess at this, but we think in the country there are probably 20,000, 30,000 people who work in the chain restaurants that might want to come to our show.
Wow.
We think there's close to a half a million when it comes to independents who are eligible to come to our show.
Wow.
We just think there's a lot more independent restaurants out there. Obviously, a chain restaurant purchaser or a marketer at a chain restaurant is one person or maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 for an entire country.
Mark Lapidus is our guest from the National Restaurant Association. You're starting to tell some of those amazing numbers. Let's talk about the industry. What is the dollar volume now? Because we go out way more than we did even 20 years ago. What's the dollar volume of the National Restaurant Association's guesstimate of restaurant business now on a yearly basis?
Yeah, so I actually just sat in on a session probably 2 hours ago in a company called Technomic, which is a research and insight firm. They put it at about $558 billion. And the National Restaurant Association says it's about 1.5 million employees in the country. So $558 billion and 1.5 million employees.
Do we have any idea about how many food service operations there are that are both brick and mortar restaurants and now food trucks, things like that?
I'm not sure we do, but I think what we're seeing, and you asked about trends, what we're seeing is that delivery and mm-hmm. third-party delivery through Uber Eats or Grubhub or those things is exploding. Mm-hmm. We had sessions on third-party delivery and lots of discussions about it and things like that, and you couldn't fight people away with a stick. I mean, they were packed. It's all they're talking about. And I think you're going to see a lot of conversations even more about that as more people adopt it. But the adoption rate on delivery, and whether it's first party or third party, is astounding. It's faster than we've seen a lot of things grow in this industry.
I want to know, how's the National Restaurant Association leadership and people who are truly hosts? Because at the end of the day, while we're all in this business, our hearts are the hearts of hosts. We all want to be hospitality heroes. We want to delight people in our house when they come to our house, whether it's a little house, a big house, or a food truck. What kind of leadership conversation do we need to have to make sure that with the proliferation of access of delivered meals, that we don't lose the core conviviality piece of going out and being with people and sharing our meals? How do we avoid what I'm going to call the VCR effect? When we all had VCRs first come into our lives, we stopped going to the movie theater. Of course, we go back to the movie theater now because we realize that it's really much more enriching and delicious to watch a movie with lots of people. And you know, movie theaters are now serving food. They're proliferating, and that's great. And we're going to the movies again. How do we avoid, for the restaurant industry, the VCR moment?
It's funny, I've never heard it called the VCR moment before, but I think it's very apropos. It's a great description. You know, we are seeing, I think we're seeing a change in the conversation about third-party delivery. We're seeing it now. It's about, or it's been about, should I have delivery and how do I make it work, and just really the operational stuff. But the next part of the conversation that we're just starting to have now is, how do you make it feel? How do I deliver my food so that it's as good as it is in my restaurant? How do I make sure that the delivery driver delivers that food with the same level of hospitality? And then for some restaurants that are, you know, higher end restaurants in particular that are thinking about delivery, how do I create that experience in a home that I do here? And a lot of them just can't. And there are restaurants we've talked to who say, you know what, my business is about hospitality. It's about welcoming people into the environment. We spend a lot of time thinking about the environment. We spend a lot of time training our staff. We spend a lot of time thinking about the food and the presentation. So we really want people to come here, and they don't push delivery, and there's some that still are resisting. And those are the ones that really care about hospitality, and I think they're still doing well. But it's the restaurants that don't have that environment, you know, the QSR restaurants mm-hmm. and things like that, where you want as much volume as you can get. And sometimes the environments in homes might be better than in the store or something like that.
We're talking with Mark Lapidus from the National Restaurant Association, celebrating their 100th anniversary of the National Restaurant Association show. Mark, when you're ready to have that conversation about conviviality, because we are all about cultivating conviviality, when you want to have that meeting, make sure you send me an invite. I'll be happy to take a seat at your table for that conversation.
Will do. I'd happy to.
Mark Lapidus, in the 100th anniversary of the National Restaurant Association show, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your very busy day to share what's going on there. And when you get back to the show floor, make sure you go visit our friends from the Tucson Tamale Company. They're just one of many of our legendary restaurateurs bringing this culture and community to life on the national scene. Seems like Tucson's having a moment. Mark, is this true? Do you see Tucson having a moment from where you sit?
You know, I don't, but that doesn't mean that it's not. You know, you see a lot of cities when they have that gastronomy moment that you were talking about before, they come out of nowhere. You know, they come out of one or two chefs that start to create that environment, and then three or four because they start to say, hey, this is a place I can do this. Chefs want to go to environments where they can create, where they can have this kind of customer base that they want to come to their restaurants, and they feel like that they're in a creative environment in places where there's other restaurants like that. You would think that they wouldn't want to be near other restaurants because of competition, but in fact, most of them want to be in a city like that. So once you have it, and so we may not have heard of what's going on in Tucson here, in Chicago, but my guess is if it's what you describe, it wouldn't surprise me at all, and might be something we're hearing about very soon. I've been to Tucson. I love Tucson. So I think, you know, it just seems to me like it's a city that could handle it between the tourism traffic and the wonderful population of Tucson. I think you could probably have a great culinary city there, and what you're describing doesn't surprise me in the least.
Well, will you come and be our guest and let us show you around and why we are the most delicious place on the planet at the moment?
I would love to.
All right. Mark Lapidus, thanks an awful lot. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. It was great having you. Talk to you.
We're going to take a very quick breather here. We're going to play a little music that's going to set the mood for us. We've got a little Bill Withers. We've got a little Lovely Day. And up next, my friend, Michelle Cardenas is here from Bright Way Wellness. 520-790-2040 is the number that you can call. Join our conversation. And all the people that are calling today are going to be entered to win a free wellness healing session with Michelle at Bright Way Wellness. Hey, welcome back, everybody. 2:46 p.m., and you are listening to Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, where the local news is the local talk. 520-790-2040 is the phone number. My good friend and co-host, Michelle Cardenas, is in the comfortable seat today. How are you?
I'm great. Hello again.
I love sitting in the kitchen here with you and getting a chance to visit. So every week, you come and expand our minds and understanding with some of the real fundamental ideas about healing and wellness and energy healing in particular. And Bob is going to, in a little bit, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to actually do a little radio Reiki today. And we are going to do a little radio Reiki. We got callers that can call and get a free Reiki healing session with you. And when we come back.
You got so into that song, you forgot about playing a commercial.
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, it was great. I would have played more, but
I know, it's my fault.
We're so excited to be here.
We're just so excited to be here. Let's do this very quickly. Let's take a quick break. Let's take a proper break. And then we can listen to more Bill Withers on the way back in. Michelle Cardenas, before we let you go, though, today, every week, you sort of take us through the chakra colors and the chakra everything. And what's our chakra for today?
Chakra for today is the solar plexus.
Which controls and, well, first of all, where is that?
It's located about 4 inches above the navel, and it controls our self-esteem, our self-confidence. It is our power zone.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it helps us make?
Helps us make good decisions. We call on that to have the self-confidence to go forward to make the choices we need to make.
So when we set out at the beginning of the day to say, oh, this is all a show all about choices, you had already chosen the thing that controls the choices was the thing we were talking about.
Well, it's not I chose it. That's next on our list.
I know.
It just happened.
That's the synchronicity of
yes.
it.
Yes.
You are listening to AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This is Around the Table. We'll be back with more right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. 2:51 p.m., wrapping up this edition of How to Kick the Week Off on a Really Positive Note, Around the Table. Michelle Cardenas from Bright Way Wellness is here. How are you?
Hello, hello.
Solar plexus is our chakra.
Solar plexus today.
Of the day. Teach us all we can appreciate about this, because I think as soon as you say solar plexus, it's like, oh my God, that's the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And the gut never lies.
The gut never lies. It's where we make our choices. It's where we have self-confidence in making our choices and moving forward. It's our will, our willpower, our will. It's our self-esteem, our self-confidence.
Is it where our intuition comes from too?
You know, intuition's kind of connected with all the chakras. I think we take that for granted when we talk about the third eye. That's the main chakra, but all the chakras help us gather information that we can use for our intuition. And the solar plexus is a big one.
So when I think of the chakras, I think of like, it's almost like a line. And what are the colors mm-hmm. again? Let's just run them through everybody.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the first one, and that's at the base of the spine. That's root. It's red. Then just below the navel is the sacral. That's orange. Above the navel, about 3 to 4 inches, is the solar plexus. That is yellow. Then the heart is in the center of the chest. That's green or pink. We have the throat is at the center of the neck, and that is a light blue, which you're wearing today. So that's great for communication.
I try and wear light blue every day that we're in the studio. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that.
It's my communication throat chakra color.
It's beautiful.
Lift me where I need to go. Help me do a good job.
Right.
And help me serve.
Right.
Help me get the messages out to people that they need.
What you're doing.
I'm trying.
I love that.
I've got to get out of the way more. I've got to pipe down and I've got to listen more.
And then we have the third eye, which is between the brow and the forehead. And that can be indigo blue, or we can go into the violet, like amethyst is often used for the third eye. And then we have the seventh main chakra on the physical body is at the top of the head. That's the crown. And it's associated with the color of violet or clear white.
One of the things you've told us about is that at each of these chakras, if we wanted to enhance, strengthen, I want to understand what that means. And when you talk about my gut, and you talk about my gut instinct and trusting your gut, because your gut never lies, and my solar plexus is my gut, and I want my solar plexus, you know, we talk about core strength. You got to work on your core strength, because if you have core strength, then you'd be in great fit shape. Talk a little bit about the solar plexus, the gut, and that core strength, and how we can strengthen that in terms of the chakra, in terms of the energy.
Okay, so there's several things we can do to strengthen it. The self-confidence in the solar plexus, that is the yellow zone. So you can eat those foods that are yellow. So, you know, when doctors say eat a colorful plate, you can think of it also as not just nourishing your body, but you're also nourishing your chakras. So color really comes into play with keeping those healthy, and yellow is the color for the solar plexus, but we can do other things. You can do mirror work to boost your self-confidence, self-talk, self-love, all will help
and
open
mirror
that up.
Work, what is, briefly, what is mirror work?
Mirror work is literally sitting in front of a mirror and basically talking to yourself.
Like being your own life coach.
Yes. You say affirmations in front of yourself. You talk to yourself as if you're talking to someone else. What would you say if someone came to you that had strife and stress? You know, we always seem to talk to others and help others, and we forget that we can do that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can talk to ourselves. We can say affirmations to ourselves to boost our self-confidence, to boost that solar plexus, to just boost our mood. It's self-love. Everybody should be doing self-love.
And when we talk about the role that having balance in each of these chakras, because one of the things you do with the work you do Reiki, which is energy healing, but you also do something about, I don't want to say this the wrong way, you do like
chakra balancing is what I call it. And in that process, I check the chakras, make sure that they're open and that they're moving in the proper direction, that they're basically happy. And then if they're stuck, or if they're moving in a direction that's not so great for our health, then I will treat it with essential oils. And I'll check it a couple of times. We treat twice with essential oils. And if it's still not quite in balance, because sometimes our chakras can be a little stubborn. Mm-hmm. And then I'll add stones and do Reiki. And usually, almost 99% of the time, by the time I'm done with the Reiki and the stones have done their work and the oils have had their time to do their job, people are pretty balanced at the end. So it's about balance.
How do I know my chakras are out of balance? How do I know to come to you?
Well, whenever you feel out of balance. I have a lot of people that will come to me and say, you know, I just don't feel myself. I feel out of balance. I'm uneasy. Usually that's because there's a chakra or two or more that are out of balance. So when we literally say I feel out of balance, it's your chakras are
out
of balance.
There's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. We have 2 minutes left. You know what we're going to do? You've been very generous. If somebody feels like they need to have their chakras balanced, pick a number right now, because the solar plexus is what number?
The solar plexus is number 3.
All right, so call on number 3.
That's
right
a good
now.
One. Yeah,
call
like
number
that.
3 right now, 520-790-2040. We have a gift certificate that is for a chakra balancing healing treatment with Michelle Cardenas at Brightway Wellness. Call number 3 right now, 520-790-2040, 520-790-2040. And call number 3 will win this exceptional healing experience. And before we run out of time today, and I love that you've been with us, we talked about choices. We can choose how we respond. We can choose how we interact with other people. How do we make a good choice in a mindful way? How do we make sure we're mindful when we're making a choice?
I think the key is to look inward and not react right away. A lot of times people will ask me to do things and, you know, events or whatever, and I don't know if it's the right choice for me to do that. So what I will do is I'll take a moment. Sometimes I'll just say, you know, let me think on that. It's okay to not respond right away and say yes or no to something or to make an informed decision. And informed, I mean by listening to your gut.
And it's we should okay say we've say, got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
We want to tell everybody you've got some events coming up this week at Brightway Wellness.
I do. On Tuesday, I have, which is tomorrow. Oh my gosh. Tomorrow we have Cultivating Dreams from 6 to 8 p.m. It's $25, and that'll be headed up by Rocio Castellanos. And on Wednesday, we have an event called Karma Cleanse Play Shop, and that is from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. Yes.
Brightway Wellness is located on Broadway. This is Around the Table, wrapping up this edition of Power Lunch and reminding you, when you get home today, please hug your kids and count your blessings. See you tomorrow.